guitarist only has two verses in his book.
Oh, aren't we having a time? Literally, I have visited for the Lord over 64 years. I have had some very interesting visits. I never had one like I had this last week. I think I'm pretty glib. A lot of people think I can talk to anybody and, you know, whatever. It just shocked me. And I didn't know, I couldn't think of nursing home. I said, do you keep men here? Now, I'm just about sure Billy did that on purpose. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. I survived it. I didn't get shot. And I apologize grossly. But I don't want it to happen tomorrow. So if Billy gives you instructions, there may be something left out. Okay. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I'm going to read 26, 27, 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Let's pray. Father, you've been so good to us. You've showered your love upon us. You've paid our debts. You've drawn us to yourself. You've saved our souls and changed our lives. And Lord, we thank you for all of your blessings and your mercy and your grace and your gifts. I ask you, Father, to bless the preaching and reading of your word. Touch some hearts and lives that are in here, and may they be moved upon by the Holy Spirit of God, and their life touched and changed. Forgive us where we failed you and help us. We ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an interesting thing. God created man in his own image. Now you may think, and maybe we would naturally start off thinking, that means like he's got a head, two eyes, two ears, one mouth, two hands, two feet. The physical body. And you might think that's the way you are in the image of God. I personally have a little different idea. I believe you're like God. You were created like God, that he gave you a body and a soul and a spirit. Because that's the way God communicates with you. Now, it's a wonderful thing. It's a great creation. It's very interesting. I look up here and I one of the greatest things that I know about is electricity. And all that we've used electricity for. We use it for heat, we use it for light, we use it for cooling. We do it. It's a tremendous thing. How many years did we go when nobody understood electricity? I think of the automobile. I remember when I was 14 and I got my driver's license, I could get a full license at 14 and a commercial at 16. But I remember when I got that car and we worked on it, my dad and I, and he spent a year with me overhauling that car every direction, every way. I was taught how to get the dents out of fenders. I was taught how to put rings on a piston. I was taught how to take a transmission out, and I painted the thing and seat covers inside of it. He did all that in a year. Freedom. Wow. What freedom that car was to me. I don't know about you. Some of you don't even like to drive. For me, I don't want a car that's going to drive me. I want to still drive the car. So I've got me an old Mercury, and I hope it lasts me till I die. It's got a key that goes in the lock, you know. Old-fashioned thing. I believe God made you, created man for communication, for fellowship, for love, for understanding. I believe you above all the animals and all the creation that God has made, even the stars and things out there, I think you were made in the image of God because God wanted to love you. Now, I don't know what all that's going to mean, but God is a spirit. And the Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You are not only flesh, but you're spiritual too. Now, I've seen a lot of little temples. A temple is a place where you meet your God or get something from your God or pray to your God or where God lives. They're all over the place. In Guatemala, when I would climb the hills, and I was a hill climber, and I climbed several volcanoes in Guatemala. Past time, they have 31 active volcanoes, or they did when I was there. You know something? That's a real piece of work. But climbing on those hills, I would come along, and here's a place with a little chicken foot or something, and maybe a little piece of plaster or plastic or even some rock set up. Somebody was worshiping. And they weren't worshiping my God. They were worshiping the devil. And they weren't being helped by it. I think you were created for communication with God, and I believe that you are the temple of God. You, individually, personally, are the temple of God. I think I'm going to prove it to you even in Scripture today. I believe this Bible that I have in my hands. I believe it's the Word of God. I believe it's true. I believe it explains an awful lot of things in life and has given me very much comfort in my life. I was told it would last me about 2 weeks when I got my religion. Well, that's been over 64 years. It has not gotten less. It's gotten more. I'm happier now in Christ than I could have ever been. Praise God. God has moved upon my mind and on my heart and changed my life. I had religion. I was a young Methodist boy, went to Sunday school and church, memorized a few scriptures, Ten Commandments, Beatitudes, things of that nature, the 23rd Psalm maybe. And at 11, I made a profession of faith. And they sprinkled me and taught me a few things and whatever, but it didn't change my life. I was just the same after as I was before. Then I married my wife, and she was a better Christian than I was. And so we're married. We ought to be going to the same church. So she was a Baptist, and I was a Methodist. I said nothing, not much difference between a little water. Baptists want to immerse you, and the Methodists want to sprinkle you. So I got baptized. I confessed faith in Christ, yes. I believed all my life in my house. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, the Savior of the whole world, and the only one that could save you. And there was one God, and the Bible was the Word. And it was clear, and it was perfect, and didn't have any mistakes in it. 1 Corinthians 13:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." Now, I have some sources. That's a tremendous statement in case you hadn't thought about it. It's wild, man. I take my sources as this is the Bible. We're good. I got a small one right here. Sometimes I have a little problem reading that, but I've got bigger ones too. But I believe this Bible is the Word of God. I don't believe that any errors in it. They're just mistaken interpretations. I believe if we understand it right, it will all match everything else. You won't be contradicting great doctrines with your new doctrine if you have it right, because the whole thing is true. Now, I think about the sources of what I'm giving you, talking to you about. In Luke chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." Luke is telling you where he got his information. Luke was a medical doctor. He was also a historian. You have Luke for writing the book of Luke, the gospel of Luke, and of writing the Acts of the Apostles. And he traveled with the apostles and he wrote down the various incidents and whatever. We have eyewitness testimony to these things, so I believe that they're clear. In Ephesians 2:20, says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." I believe when they tell you Jesus said this, that Jesus said it. I don't have a problem with it. Why? It's faith. What did Abraham have? Nothing but faith. He got a message from God. I don't know how he knew it was from God or how he knew God before that. Told him, get up and move. And he got up and he moved. And then God blessed him. And the Bible tells us right there in the 15th chapter of Genesis, you read it out. Read the testimony of Abraham. He believed God. And God counted it to him for righteousness. Way back yonder. That's a long ways back. 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Well, I think that's another good explanation of what faith is. We believe it. What is what the Bible has said? Look at 2 Corinthians 4:7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." All right, God is a spirit, and God wants to communicate you with you in your spirit, and you have a spirit that can be communicated with God. I think about verse 28 in Genesis. It said, "God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it." You know, I was talking about that car. I don't know how many of you like history or even like Westerns or whatever, but you notice there was an awful lot of people here for a few years, hundreds of years, I guess, that walked all the way from here to California or to Oregon. They got them a wagon and they got some donkeys and they got some cattle or something like that to pull the wagon. And they walked out beside that wagon all the way, 10 or 12 miles, maybe even 20 on a given day, maybe 5 on another day. And they walked all the way for 3 months or 6 months or a year to get where they went. How they would have loved to have had my little 100 horsepower 40 Ford. Wow. Just recently, I have one of those yards where the fence is up. It's posts, wooden, 6 or 7 foot, something like that. Now, I've had a drill, a lot of tools and whatever. I wanted to put screws in that fence. Well, I picked up my old machine, hadn't used it in a while. It was gone. So I went out to Home Depot. sorry about that. And I got me 2 new drills. You know what? They were much smaller and more powerful. Electricity, man. It just go right on through there. Anybody that takes down that fence now is going to have them a problem. Because I bought 1.5 inch screws and put them right through there and it's solid. But you know, I was sitting on the back just messing with my dog. And the wind is blowing and I'm seeing the boards in my fence and they're blowing. And I went out there and looked at them and they had little bitty nails in them. And that's probably 15, 20 years old. I don't know how old that fence is. But you know, that electric power, wow, what they wouldn't have done to have had a drill like that. Have you ever seen how they were drilling holes back in those days, you know, and you're turning like this, and yes, all sorts of things like that. Oh, no, no, they just get you an electric gun, go zip, zip, zip. It's worth money. Somebody had to subdue that. That's what he tells us. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. We continue to subdue this world around us. Now, we're doing a pretty good job right now, I think. Man, we've got doctors that subdue it in that way. We have scientists that subdue other things. We've got all sorts of things that people are conquering. And you know what? The doctors that spend 12 or 14 years in their training to become an expert in a special field, they can't keep up with all the reading that they have to do. Because there's so much light coming in, so much understanding, so much conquering of things that are about us. We're subduing things. What is there out there that we don't know? I look at the electricity, and I'm fascinated by electricity, but all the different uses that we have of it, and the idea that it could be at our disposal. Even if you think it's high, it's cheap. What a tremendous thing. Well, we're subduing the whole world. People are interested. You like to learn how to do a new work, whatever. Well, that's what we've been doing. Subdue it. Motors, ships, cars, planes. Back when they built the ships, when they discovered America, they were wooden. Wood floats. Have you seen those big monstrosities that are all steel? That weigh hundreds of tons and carry hundreds of tons, and they float. Isn't it an amazing thing? Somebody subdued something in their life. Somebody learned something. Somebody put it to a practical use. That's what keeps life interesting. Some people think God's going to have to give us something to do in heaven because that's what we do. We work at things. There, we've got people that are working as cooks trying to get something new. I'm glad they are because I'm not a cook. I hate eating my own cooking. It's not as good as what you could make for me. And it's not as much fun as you making it for me. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You're not only flesh, but you're spiritual too. Now it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Wow. That's something else. You were made to be a temple for God to reside in. You were made to be a temple that you could make requests from God and receive instruction from God. You were made to work on a spiritual level, not just the physical level. Now, most of us are so tied up with our physical bodies and the physical lusts that we have and whatever that we're not really very good spiritual students. But we need to be. That's how you communicate with God. He's going to deal with you in the Spirit. He says, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. You're not your own. In Ephesians 2:21, it says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. That's what we are here today. Each one of you that are saved are filled with the Spirit of God, and a bunch of us to get together, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. It's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful thing. And it's a place where God can speak to you and impress you and teach you and bless you. I had a experience on a, I guess it was last Thursday. I took my dog to get him vaccinated. And I took him back to the vet that I'd had in Kendall County. And this is a very sweet lady, very sweet personality. And I just really enjoyed myself. We were talking about the Lord. And we were talking about certain other things, but just the two of us, no interruptions and whatever. By the way, on the way, I had my dog tied to a seatbelt. And as I'm doing 75 miles an hour out 10, that dog come loose and come up in the front seat with me and tried to drive. Interesting time. At any rate, in John 14:17, it says, even the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples before he goes to the cross. He said, that Spirit's with you, within Jesus Christ, he was with them. He shall be in you. Yes, after the resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit of God, now Christ is in you. That's your only hope of glory. Ephesians 2:21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. It's a wonderful thing for Christians to get together and share the Word of God. It's a wonderful thing to sing those wonderful hymns. I love the hymns. I can't sing them anymore, but I love them. I love to listen to them. I love to think the words. They do something in my heart. Do they do something for you? When two or three are gathered together, well, what about if 100 are gathered together? Maybe some of these great big churches with thousands of them, there may be something there that when all of these saved people get together and they sing praise to God and they preach the Word of God, well, wonderful experience. First Peter 2:5. I only went through three of our guys, Paul, Peter, and John. Ye also, as lively stones, that's living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wow. You see what you miss out on when you stay at home? See what you miss out on when you don't fellowship with believers? You see what you steal from yourself? You need to be with the brethren. You need to be being a friend and a help. You need to be evangelizing. You need to be praying. There are people that need prayer right now. A lot of people need prayer right now. You've been prayed for. Maybe it's time to turn it around and pray for somebody else. Maybe it's time to learn to give, Brother Brent. Learn to serve, Brother Brent. That was very good this morning. I think the real problem is we have a bunch of immature people raising immature kids. But that's just my opinion. He said a spiritual house. Now, my mother's father was a big rancher, and he had a house with cut rock. All the outside was built as a two-story house, and these were sawed stones. So that was an expensive house, hard-working house. My daddy lived on one that was just very poor. Two or three rooms of the house, barely up to the ridge. When the flood would reach up, it gets this close. They knew enough to put the house higher than the floodplain, but not many acres. A spiritual house. A holy priesthood. I don't know whether you've watched so much television, read so many books, seen so many movies. Have you thought what God would like to say to you on a given day? Do you ever give him an opportunity? You know, if you open this book right here and you just read it, You don't have to study it. You don't have to if something that doesn't come to you real easy, you don't have to really search it out too much. Go on and get something. It's plain. It's simple. There's great truth to be had there. There's comfort for your soul and comfort even from your body. I know one of these days I'm going to split the heavens open. I'm going to hear a trumpet and a voice of an angel saying, come up hither. And wow, where am I going to go? I'm going to go be with Jesus. Amen. You know what he said? He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, you believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I read that and believed it and understood it 65 years ago. It hasn't grown thin. It's still a very solid rock for me. It's a great comfort. I don't know what's going to happen in this life and to this body. And when you get old, you get they carry you places you don't want to be carried. They do things to you you don't want to have done to you. They do things to you you wouldn't let them do to you when you were 25 years old. That's the truth. But, hey, some of us are supposed to be pretty tough. Okay, get tough when he gets old. You got to live with it. It's what's coming. Do you know what I'm looking forward to? I tell you what, I think about it day after day after day. A 33 and a half year old body that can just instantly go to heaven, instantly come back to earth, walk through walls, eat, do what he want to do. That spiritual body that's described that the Lord Jesus Christ had in his resurrected body. Don't you want that? Yes. I want that. I believe I'm going to have it, and I believe you're going to have it too. Amen. Wonderful thing. We're going to fellowship with God forever. Amen. You know how long eternity is? It's a long time. In Romans 8:11, here's what is said. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive, your mortal bodies by his Spirit that what? Dwelleth in you. You may have forgotten it. You may have never known it. You need to recognize it. God dwells in you. Wow. You ever go in and turn the light out and think God can't see? You ever that foolish? God sees everything, everywhere. He's always with you. He's inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What's your hope of glory? I don't have any hope of glory in my righteousness. Not in my wisdom. Not with my little 3-pound brain. Put that against God who created the universe, who's been around for eternity. Who knows all these things that you and I don't know? Wow. No comparison. No comparison. What's your job? Believe. Believe you're a sinner and need a Savior. Believe Christ died for your sins, gave himself for you, paid your debt to God completely. So completely as you walk into the presence of God, pure, clean, justified, saved. Wow. Amen. And it's all a gift. You don't earn it. You can't pay it back. You can give all the money you want to charity, or you can give it to churches, or you can do whatever. It won't help you a bit. It won't erase one sin. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And now listen to the rest of this. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What a statement. I know the world wants us all to be nice to each other. And they say, well, all got to get along. That may be right. But let me tell you something. There is no other Savior than Jesus Christ. Amen. You go up any other way, you won't find the Lord. With Jesus Christ, no matter who you are, how bad you've been, you believe and trust Him to forgive your sins and get your heart right with God, He'll save your soul. And I'm a testimony to that. I was sort of a wild young man. You know something? At 20 years old in the Air Force in Roswell, New Mexico, I called on Jesus Christ. He saved my soul and changed my life. You know what He did? He changed my life. He changed my kids' lives. Changed my wife's life even. Changed my future. Changed my eternity. You can be saved too, because it says God so loved the world. That's you. That's you. Are you worth saving? No, you're really not. Not any of us are. God didn't save me because I was good. I was bad. God didn't save me because I sought Him, because I didn't seek Him. He sought me. But God Almighty is a loving God, and He has a way of salvation that can save the worst sinner in the world. His forgiveness is big enough. I could walk in any prison cell, and I have walked in prisons and given testimony to prisoners. The man with a murder or rape or horrible things. I can tell him on the strength of the Word of God, by the testimony of these eyewitnesses and the words of Jesus Christ, if you will repent of your sin and take Christ as a substitute for your sin, God will save your soul. Wow. That's been a pleasure to preach all these years. It's still a pleasure to think about. No, I don't deserve to be saved. I don't know why God would pick me out. That's one of the other things that I thought about of the group I ran with and talked to. Most of them weren't saved and never got saved. Why me? I don't know. But I know the love of God came into my life and changed it. Changed it for my good and for the good of my family, my children and my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and some of you. Praise God. Romans 8:11 says, now you listen to this, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive, your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You are indwelt by the Spirit of God, whether you believe it or not, whether you feel it or not, it's true. You need to believe it. 1 Timothy 1:14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. The Spirit of God is in your soul. Let Him be in your mind. Let Him do some directing. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Now I'm going to read Ephesians 2:22. Just an interesting word. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Habitation of God? That's where God lives. God takes up home in His children. God moves in by the Holy Spirit and goes into the soul of every saved child of God. And God gives it by faith as a gift. Eternal life. Forgiveness of sin. fellowship with God forever. Maybe we need to rethink what's really important in our life. Our spiritual relationship with God. The Bible has a beautiful opportunity for you in Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There again, the exclusivity of Jesus Christ to being the only Savior in the world. No other. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. What is that name? Jesus. Amen. Under heaven. That covers the world. Given among men, whereby we must be saved. If you're going to be saved, it's Jesus only. Amen. You can't get saved. I'm sorry if you're a Mohammedan and you don't believe in Jesus. If you worship some Indian gods, they can't save your soul. If you've got a God that was made with human hands, it has eyes but it cannot see, it has ears but it cannot hear, it has feet but it cannot walk. You need a God that's all powerful, all present, all good, and no matter all the things you don't understand yet, I believe God is good. I believe God is love. I believe God is the only source of salvation. In Isaiah 55 and 6 and 7, there are two verses that I've loved for a long, long time because I think they give the great invitation of God. Isaiah 55, 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. If you're alive in this room today, or if you're alive and listening out on the TV or the computer, seek the Lord while he may be found. He can be found today. He says in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I'm thankful I can give an invitation. God will forgive you. You have not done so great a sin that God cannot forgive. He has Christ who has paid the debt for your sins. His perfect righteousness has been established in the courts of heaven. That is applied to you when you take Christ as your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe he can save you. Believe he will save you. Believe it enough to call on him. He'll save your soul today. Father, touch your people. Touch all that listen. Draw us close to you. Fill us with your Spirit. Dwell in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.